when my wife saw the title for my sermonette in the update this week, she said, kind of guessing, says, "You're going to be talking about accountability." She was correct. As I look and am reminded by my grandsons that we've reached that time of year when school ends, and guess what follows? You're not quite done when school ends, because then come the report cards. And they are given to the students, and you may be happy or you may be sad, right? But they do have an impact, and they reflect how we might be performing, how we are accomplishing things. Ultimately, it really gets down to a matter of pass or fail. And something to note, and I'd like to tie that into the sermonette today, is the fact that there are degrees of accomplishment that are noted. You may get an A, a B, a C, a D, or even an F. There is a comparable system for Christians, and it is described by the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 4. And I'll read that as kind of a foundational scripture for this particular sermonette. 1 Peter 4 and verse 17 says this: "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God." That is, it's beginning with God's family, with Christians. Brethren, in this process, we are being tested on an ongoing basis. Let me try that again. It's these borrowed teeth I have that get in the way of my thinking sometimes. But we are being tested. We are being held accountable, brethren. Go back to the word that Peg used to describe my sermonette. I'd like to give you three things that we must do in this process of judgment. Of course, there are more that we could turn to and think about, but I'd like to highlight these three. Number one, we must bear fruit. What does that mean? Well, we have to accomplish something. We've got to begin, carry it through, and bring it to a fruition, to a completion. John 15 and verse 2. Emphatically, Jesus Christ told his servants, his words were written down for us, and here's what he says, and I'll begin in verse 1 of John 15. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away." It's a process. If we're not bearing fruit, "and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit." There's where the testing comes in. God is interested in our growth, and I'll show more about that as we look at some other verses as well. Matthew 25, verse 15. I'm going to give you a couple scriptures under each of these three points as we go through. Matthew 25 and verse 15 is such a famous part of the Bible. It's the parable of the talents. I'd like to read just a few things, just some opening verses here, and not go through the whole parable. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his servants and delivered his goods to them." The responsibility was kind of handed off, the job assignment was handed off, and implied, of course, is that there will be accountability. "And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on." I'm sorry, I lost the word there. He went on a journey, but he left. Christ is in heaven with his Father, but it doesn't mean he's not observing and watching over. Quite the opposite. He is working with his church, as we've spoken about in recent times. But if you continue to read in his parable, you find that various ones, based on their abilities, and we know that in other places God says that to whom much is given, much will be required. So if you have talent in a certain area, God expects you to use it, all of us to use what we have been given. As you go through this parable then, it shows that rewards, grades, if you please, are given based on how well one does. The idea is that those who produce fruit get the reward, and those who don't produce lose it all. Number two, we must overcome sin. In the book of Revelation, in chapters 2 and 3, the message that Jesus Christ inspired to be written, what he revealed to John through his angel, these messages have a lot of details in them. They're talking about individual circumstances, epochs in history when the Church of God would arise for a period of time and accomplish a lot of work, fulfilling the commission of the church, and then they would wane. They would not be so successful, although some finish more effectively than others do. It is interesting to note that in these examples of these seven churches, they do have these periods of growth and real zeal and excitement, and they have all the emotions in the various times. And that's why I believe that the inspiration is that we should hear what the Spirit says to all of the churches, not just the one we might think we most closely identify with. But the one overriding thing that Christ says to these churches is that to him who overcomes, and then he completes his statement in different ways, but that is the beginning statement to each of the churches, the seven churches. So the challenge is to overcome. And what do we overcome in this world? Well, sin. Jesus Christ overcame Satan. He overcame the world, and he overcame himself in the sense that he did not ever give in to sin. He is our pattern. He is the perfect example. He's the one that sits at the head of the class, straight A's on his card for sure, or A pluses, I guess we could say. 1 John 1, verses 8 and 9, and this is an important key for us to understand, and we must recognize this, is that the fact, contrary to what secular Christianity offers, in the once saved, always saved kind of concept, and how that concept is so ill-bred and misinformed. 1 John 1, verses 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Sorry, I don't have any homework today. Yeah, I do. I have homework every day. And it's important to recognize in this process of being tested that we need to confront the sins that haunt us. And I think if you dig deep down into your own psyche and understanding, you're going to realize that we all have problems we keep working on. We make incremental changes. We overcome a little bit. We climb the mountain a little higher in that process. Let me continue now. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you ever grow weary of battling the same problem and wondering why you personally can't overcome that when someone else doesn't have that problem? Well, here's the key in this second point about overcoming. We must replace our mistakes, our shortfalls, with obedience to God. That's what Jesus Christ did. He never gave in to disobedience, but he continued to obey, and that way he didn't get any bad marks on his grade card. And number three, we must endure in our calling. We cannot quit. That message rings loud and clear throughout the Bible. Matthew 24 and verse 13 makes a very pointed statement, and it does apply to very much to our time and our day. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Sometimes that's tough, right? Hebrews 12, verses 3 through 11. Talks about God's working with us. And just to point out a couple of things here, I was checking my time here just to make sure I don't keep going too long. Hebrews 12, verse 3. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. This is the role that we have been given. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? I guess that's true, isn't it, boys? Fathers correct us sometimes. But if you are without chastening, in other words, if you're not receiving correction, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respects. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of lights or of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chasten us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. In this process of being tested, these three points, that we must bear fruit, we must overcome sin, and we must endure in our calling. Enduring what? Well, the correction that we're going to get as we go along. We can't quit, and we know of those who have quit and turned away. We will receive a report card for how we have responded to God's calling. That's what Matthew 25 is all about in that parable. And it continues. Well worth reading in the context of what I'm talking about today. We are being judged for eternal life, as Hebrews 12 was bringing out. And brethren, we are being judged for membership in the family of God, That's our ultimate graduation. Revelation 21 and verse 7 says this, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things." Won't fail any grades. You'll pass them all. And God says, "And I will be his God, and he shall be my son." And a little enlargement on that in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 18, finally. Paul quoting, and it's kind of hard to find exactly where he put this quote together, as sometimes it's from partially from the Old Testament, but I think he probably added the intention here. Here's what he says, quoting, "I will be a father to you," this is from God, "and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." Sometimes we need to just put these things in a kind of a simple perspective. Think about what our calling is all about and ratchet up the effort, brethren, because what we're studying for, what we're working toward, is so ultimately incomparable to be a part of the family of God. It's what Jesus Christ committed himself so absolutely to accomplish, and it is what he accomplished, and it is something that has set before us that we can also find total fulfillment.